Hear the reading of God's word from the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 29, beginning with verse 10 and reading through verse 13. This was one of the texts that Billy Graham liked to preach. And we will see, if we're not familiar with this text, we will see why as we hear this word read today. Exile is a terrible time, and that is what is going on for Israel. They are being cast into exile, and the forecast is for 70 years. And this is what Jeremiah says, the Lord says about this time. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill good promise to bring you back to your place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Eternal God, what a wonderful word this is to hear proclaimed today. That you have a plan that leads to hope, a plan that even leads to prosper, a plan that does not harm, a plan that leads to the place you have in mind. And we are heartened by that word that you will listen when we pray. And that if we will seek you with all of our heart, we will find you. Lead us now to a greater understanding of what this means to us today. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. What has been a most unusual morning. I don't know how many of you were disrupted in your homes, but I know we were disrupted here in our church. It was not the Mother's Day that I had in mind, but I do want to extend to all the mothers, Happy Mother's Day. We are so thrilled to have this opportunity to share with you, to honor you and lift you up on this very special day. Someone asked me in between the services when the power had just come back on, said, were you praying that the power would come back on? And I was a little bit reluctant to pray for that because I had prayed that we would have an unforgettable Mother's Day. And we have. I do want to share a brief word about Mother's Day and how important it is that we take some time to reflect on that, because Mother's Day, we know, is a great tribute to mothers that give so much and often are not thanked. Maybe we take them for granted, and we all have that in common, that we are brought into this world through an earthly mother. And what a great day to just honor mothers. And we're also mindful that this is a very emotional day. As Brian prayed a few moments ago, it's perceived and remembered in different ways. For some people, it is a joyous day with just endless wonderful memories. But for others, it is a painful day for various reasons. It's not all that it is for everyone else. And so it is a reminder of some of the pain in the past. But Mother's Day began with Anna Jarvis, and she was actually a Methodist. She was born in 1864, and she really loved her mother, Ann Jarvis. And through the years, she wanted to pay tribute to her mother. So around the time that Woodrow Wilson was president, she began advocating her own church. I believe it was in West Virginia. And that they should take a Sunday, the second Sunday in June, which is the Sunday that her mother died, and to honor mothers. And this idea was received very well by this congregation. And the white carnation that you saw on that opening slide, that has significance for Anna Jarvis. That's really all she wanted to see done on this special day, was to present all the mothers with this beautiful flower to honor mothers. So she started with her church, and soon the state adopted this as a national day as well. And very soon, President Wilson and our nation adopted it. It seemed to be a good idea. And the rest is history. But there was an unusual history with this day, because actually what Anna Jarvis envisioned and what actually happened were two different things. There was the, even back then, there was a commercialization of Mother's Day very quickly. And Anna Jarvis was not pleased when florists started elevating the prices of carnations around Mother's Day. She was not pleased. She was not pleased when they started separating a red carnation for the living mothers and a white carnation for those who had deceased mothers. She was not pleased when cards started coming out. She would remark that, why should you be so lazy to buy your mother a card instead of writing her a note? She did not like what became of her idea. And in fact, in some ways, she fought against what had Mother's Day had become. And interesting enough that over time, she was a political figure and she took on some pretty powerful people. But she died in an asylum, a very lonely person. And it's a very interesting story of a woman who loved her mother and wanted to honor her mother. And we're all impacted by Anna Jarvis and what she did today. But what she did really was connect us with this idea of celebrating what God established in the very beginning, an earthly mother, honoring our earthly mothers. And of course, that is the fifth commandment, to honor your father and mother. So it is very biblical, even though it's not a church day per se. We do know that the value and the biblical teaching and the theological teaching, it is nestled in that fifth commandment to honor our mother. Most of us have different emotions on Mother's Day. I know in my household, it's many emotions. My mother is 89 years old, and she still lives very independently and very happily in Jackson, Alabama. And she has three sons, Methodist pastors, and so we've really never seen each other on Mother's Day. Just never works out that way. But we love our mother, and I am blessed with a wonderful earthly mother that brought me into this world. And I can never repay her for all that she has done through the years. She's been a stable rock for me throughout my journey from the time I was in her womb to now. And I'm grateful. My wife, Karen, she lost her mother at age 4. And so she never really got to experience what most people experience, having an earthly mother going through all those wonderful years that she never had. So it's painful for her. It's pleasant in our household because we have three daughters, and Karen has wonderful daughters to pay tribute to her on Mother's Day, Mallory, Brooke, and Haley. And Mallory has a son named Luke, and of course he was born through surrogacy. And our family knows that some of our Mother's Day thoughts are through that pain of infertility, and knowing that many people go through that pain, wanting children and not able to have them, and wanting grandchildren, not able to be blessed by them. So this whole day conjures up so many different emotions, but the basic vision that God had for the world, that we would all come into this world through an earthly mother, is a wonderful vision, because we need the nurture, we need the love, we need the care of a mother. So I'd like for a few moments to direct us to this thought. The God that we can hope in cares for us. The God that we can hope in cares for us. And that's two important messages there. We can hope in the Lord, in the future that He has for us, and He cares for us along the way as we live in to that future. I want to go back to the passage from Jeremiah and just point out some of the thoughts here from this wonderful reading. That there is a promise here that God has plans for our future, and they are plans of hope. What do I hope will happen out of this sermon? That we will choose to look at our lives more through the eyes of hope, through the hope that is in the Lord. And the plans the Lord has for us is one of hope, it says. Plans to prosper you. And many of us think financially with prosper, but prosper can mean health, it can mean blessings, it can mean love, it can mean so many things. And there is a promise here that we will have prosperity in the Lord in the future. There's a promise here that we will not be harmed. You know, we live in some dangerous times. We never know what might appear at the next corner. But there's a promise here that the Lord's not going to harm us. He's got a plan. It's a future of a hope and a hope, and there's not going to be harm. And then He gives us that word that those who call on Me and pray to Me, I will listen. I will listen to you. And maybe that's what somebody here needs most of all today, is just to know that if you'll pray, the Lord will listen. He'll listen to you. And He will be there when we seek Him with all of our heart. The heart is the center of our emotions, our affections, our motives, and everything. And so when we speak of giving God our heart, or seeking God our heart with all our heart, we're talking about the center of who we are, and we are seeking the Lord with all that we have. And if we'll do that, the promise here in Jeremiah is that we'll find Him. Now, God's never been lost, has He? So we need to clear that up theologically. We're the ones that are lost. But we understand the way this is phrased, that if we'll seek Him with all of our heart, we will find Him. He will be there. So the God that we can hope in cares for us. That's a good word, isn't it? The God that we can hope in our future in, He cares for us very much. The second message I'd like to bring to you today, it comes from the 91st Psalm, Psalm 91. And let me share with you these words. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will, says the Lord. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God whom I can trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. He will cover you with his feathers. Isn't that an interesting phrase? He will cover you with his feathers. He'll protect you. He'll love you in his arms. There was a doctor who told a woman the news she didn't want to hear, that she had cancer, and it was pretty bad. And she did not appear to be very disturbed by what the doctor had just said. And he asked her, said, "Did you hear what I just shared with you, that you have cancer? You do not appear to be upset." And the woman responded with this word from Psalm 91 that she had committed to memory: "I'm covered with his feathers. I'm covered with his feathers." That is a wonderful word, isn't it? There's a story of a woman who was driving alone through a dangerous part of the city. And she stopped at a red light. And while she was stopped, an intruder came and got into her car and held a pistol to the back of her head, held her at gunpoint, as he commanded her to drive where he wanted to go. She was speechless, scared to death. She began thinking about all of the Bible passages that might help, and this passage came to her: "I'm covered with his feathers. I'm covered with his feathers." She started saying it over and over again and louder and louder: "I'm covered with his feathers. I'm covered with his feathers." And at the next light, the intruder said, "Let me out of this car, lady. You're crazy." I'm covered with his feathers. That's a good word. I don't know what circumstances you might find yourself in, but that's a good word. It really doesn't matter what my circumstances are. I'm covered with his feathers. I'm under his wing. He's going to help me. I can hope in the Lord. He loves me. He cares for me as I journey in this hope. Pat Lakota, a longtime member of our congregation, she shares the story of how this passage spoke to her life. She had lost her husband to cancer many years ago. She was very devastated by this death, and she was needing some hope. She felt hopeless. She lives on the waterfront, and she was looking out over the water one day, and she was thinking about these words: "I'm covered with his feathers." And up appeared a blue heron to join her. And Pat received this as a sign of God, that she was covered by the feathers of the Lord. Now, this is an amazing story. There's many stories with these, but Pat has made these blue herons pets. They come into her house. They spend time with her. They knock on the door when it's time to eat a hot dog. It is amazing. But Pat, looking for hope, would say, "I'm covered with his feathers." What a wonderful word. Covered with his feathers. And then the third passage today that speaks of God's love as we journey in hope. And whether it's a journey in hope individually, or a journey in hope as a congregation, and a journey in hope in our family, it really doesn't matter. It is good to know that in that journey of hope that God has for us, plans for future and a welfare, a plan not to harm us, a plan to prosper us. It is good to know that he cares for us in that journey. Hear the word from 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with verse 5. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And in this journey of hope, this promise of hope the Lord places before us, that his plans are one of hope, it is good to know that whatever our anxiety, whatever our stress, whatever it is in our life that we need to know that someone cares, the Lord cares and he's with us in that time. Cast your anxiety, 1 Peter says, upon him, for he cares for you. Prisoners of war tell the stories of what it's like to be in confinement, blindfolded, in a hostile environment. And in such a hostile environment where they do not know what is coming next, what makes it the bleakest and the darkest is to feel like nobody cares for you. But one POW tells the story of how he imagined that there were other people around him who cared for him. And it turns out they were there nearby and they did care for one another. That caring for one another makes all the difference. It is what God promises us on this journey of hope. So today, take with you this message on this Mother's Day. God cares for you. God covers you with his feathers. You can cast your anxiety upon him, for he cares for you. And move into that hope of a future where God is with you, a future that will not harm you, will even bring you prosperity in God's way of prosperity. And we are told that we can call upon the Lord and he will listen. And if we seek him, we will find him. Would you pray with me? Thank you, God, for this time to read your word. We thank you for the promises that you have a future for us. We pray now for greater trust in you as we move toward that future. Help us.